The CBC drama series presents Barometer Rising, a story of Nova Scotia in the First World War. Barometer Rising, a novel by Hugh McLennan, adapted for broadcasting by Rita Greer. Production is by Rupert Kaplan of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, and it is presented by the CBC International Service. Barometer Rising by Hugh McLennan, Part 5.
Thursday to Saturday.
The place is Halifax, Nova Scotia. The year 1917. Thursday, December the 6th.
Morning, 11:30.
Everything was quiet, and the air smelled clean. It was so quiet, Penny thought.
It's like the morning in Montreal. Remember, Neil? We could hear the man whistling in the street. Even through the window, we could hear him. And he walked all the way up from Windsor Station up to our hotel. If she were here to remember, Neil.
She moved and tried to open her eyes. But she could only make out the form of her father's Persian cat as it arched its back and yawned.
Oh, I'm home. I'm only home. And you mustn't come here, Neil. My father will send you away again.
But she was too tired. Pain gnawed at her left eye. And a voice seemed to whisper in her head.
I don't care what happens anymore. I'm so tired. So tired.
Slowly the quiet haze faded. And the house became full of strange sounds. There were people moving about overhead. And Angus Murray's voice was there, rising and falling. And Sadie's. And she could hear Aunt Mariah shouting suddenly at the top of her voice to someone in the hall. It was all queer. Penny raised herself slightly on one elbow, and then a shiver shook her body, and she huddled back on the sofa. She remembered the explosion, the stab of glass into her face, and the floor of her office lurching and heaving, then the cracking roar as the building broke from its foundations and crumbled and slithered down and inward with a noise like hard, unmuffled thunder.
What happened then? When did it happen? I remember Neil and Angus shouting. Long after. Did I wave? I tried to wave.
How's everything now?
Neil. Was that Neil?
Are you awake?
Neil, you're here. I was so alone. I wanted so much.
Are you awake, Penny?
Yes. I said yes. Didn't I say
yes? Do you hear me, Penny?
Yes, I told you. What's that?
That? That noise? It's just Aunt Mariah. She's got a crowd of women in there ripping up sheets.
Why?
For bandages. We turned the house into a hospital, Penny. You're the first patient.
Oh, I'm a patient. What do I have to do? I'm so tired, Neil. Is it my eye? Don't look at it, Neil.
Penny?
Stroke my cheek like that. Don't go away again, will you? I don't want to be alone. Not anymore.
Are you asleep, Penny?
It's the morning Jean was delivered, remember? Oh, no, you weren't there. You were never there. I was alone, and it was cold and white, and I thought how cold the trees must be. I thought about the rabbits hopping around in the snow. Never mind about the rabbits, the doctor said. There aren't any left on Mount Royal these days. I haven't a thing to worry about. Just make an effort. Just once more. Now. I must find out if you like children. Neil?
Penny.
That isn't Neil.
You must make an effort, Penny.
It's only Angus.
I've got to operate on that eye of yours, Penny. Nothing to worry about, but I can't leave it, or you'll lose the sight.
Neil's gone away. He's always going away. What do I have to do now?
I'll have to wash it. Does it pain badly?
Pain? I don't know. Angus.
Good girl, Penny. It won't take long.
Where's Neil? Don't let him get caught, Angus. Father will have him shot.
All right. Your father's probably too busy to worry. The whole army's out trying to organize the mess.
What happened this morning? Everything's strange.
Hasn't anyone told you? A munition ship blew up in the Narrows. It's blown the town apart.
Oh, yes. That ship. They wanted me to... What is it I'm supposed to do now?
You'll have to
to sit up for a few minutes, my dear. Just put your arms around my neck. We'll soon have you comfortable.
Does it matter?
Come on now. One more effort.
Can't you let it go? I'm so tired. And
please, Penny.
I'm...
Damn it, she's gone again. Mrs. Wayne?
Yes, Major Murray?
I'll have to operate right away.
On her eye?
I'm afraid so. She's pretty exhausted.
Poor child. You might have known a thing like this would happen to her, working in a place no woman ever ought to have been.
Yes, Mrs. Wayne. Everything's set up in the dining room?
Yes, but perhaps you'd better check. My nephew has gone to get more medical supplies.
Where does he expect to find those?
The military hospital, he said.
The military? Well, he is walking into the lion's den.
Well, if he's arrested by the military police, then the law will take its course. He'll have to face up to his court-martial and his cowardice sooner or later. Certainly, as soon as Jeffrey...
Let's think about Penny, Mrs. Wayne. I'll need a nurse.
Well, of course, I have a Mrs. Stevens who'd like to help her. She's changing now.
She had operating room experience?
I believe so.
Good. I would like her to help me now.
Well, I'll send her in, then.
Mrs. Wayne?
Yes?
If I knew another man who was free and competent to do this operation, Mrs. Wayne, I'd give him the case. You know that, I presume.
I'm not a fool, Dr. Murray. I would like you to know, despite your wounded hand, despite your reputation, despite everything, I have every confidence in you, Doctor. Now, I'll get Mrs. Stevens.
Well, that's from Mariah Wayne. There's more confidence than I have in myself, then. But the nurse will be a help if she's good. Except that then she might know enough to criticize. Ah, me worrying about what a nurse thinks. I've done dozens of eye operations without help. I'll do it now. With a messed up hand and a hangover. Oh.
Dr. Murray, I'm Mrs. Stevens.
Good. She's ready, nurse. If you'll come and steady her.
Yes, doctor.
Now, Penny, just a few minutes, and it'll be over. 12:30.
Neil McCrae drove the truck up the hard, grassy slope of Citadel Hill to the top. There he stopped and looked at his watch. It was 12:30. Just a little over 3 hours since the munition ship Mont Blanc had blown up. And now, Halifax looked like a city caught in the fulcrum of a battle.
From this height, the catastrophe took on a cosmic aspect. The whole population seemed to be moving, for everywhere there were people, moving, carrying their dead and wounded, moving away from the ruins, away from the fires, away from a possible second explosion in the burning magazine of Wellington Barracks. Citadel Hill was like an island, for the stream of people flowing round its base had no end or beginning, but moved like a lazy river drifting out of the smoke and winding southward along the channels of least resistance. And the very slopes of the hill itself were dotted black with people huddling over their belongings.
Neil started the truck again. And honking his horn and twisting to avoid the refugees, he began to descend the long slope toward the crowded street and the military hospital.
1:30.
Who was that who slammed the door? This house is a hospital, please.
Sorry, my hands are full.
Oh, it's you.
Will you take this stuff?
What is it?
Hypodermic syringes, morphine.
Good, I have it. And please, no noise. Major Murray's taken Penelope upstairs and we want absolute quiet.
Is he finished?
There he is.
Oh, you're back, Neil.
I must get Sadie to put a silencer on her.
Is she all right?
I think so. I think her eye's going to be as good as ever in a few weeks.
That's good news. Thanks to you. How's your hand bearing out?
It seems to have been adequate.
Good. You can handle a truckload of wounded, then.
You've got them?
No, but I will have. The military are trying to get some sort of organization into this evacuation business. It's just shambles right now. I thought I'd take the truck up to the north end and set up a clearing station for wounded. Somebody's got to start somewhere.
Have you got help?
Oh, I picked up a sergeant. We'll gather more as we go. You've got enough beds for quite a few patients, eh?
I think we can handle whatever you send.
All right.
But, Neil, hadn't you better be careful?
What of?
Recognition. What if you're recognized?
Every time I turned around, somebody says, McCrae, when did you come alive? Did the explosion blow the hinges off hell?
Well, it'd be different if you run into Jeffrey Wayne.
Oh, Murray, I'm going to meet Wayne sometime or other, no matter what I do, so whatever happens then will happen. Now, I'll send the first load back as soon as I can.
If I were you, I'd call him to see Alec McKenzie. He might die, you know. Neil?
I wondered if he heard.
2 o'clock.
If the explosion had occurred in the south end of Halifax, at the tip of the peninsula, already special trains would be carrying refugees back into the province, into the inland towns, and the trains would be bringing doctors and food and workers from Moncton and Montreal and Boston, and the congestion and the agony would be lessened before evening. But Halifax is tied to the continent by a single main highway and a railway track and a string of telegraph wires, all of which went out through the bottleneck of the North End, and all of which had been wiped out by the explosion. It had blown the town in on itself, and if a strong wind fanned the flames steadily southward, there would be a good chance of ultimately driving the remainder of the population into the sea. As it was, there was no end to the processions of wounded coming out of the North End. They dragged steadily out of the smoke, and the estimates of the casualties mounted hour after hour.
2:30.
Can we get through there? Yell to that guy over there, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. Where do we go?
Anywhere in the North End.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you! Can we get through here?
Oh, it's too crowded.
Hey, he says to get off the street if we want to go north.
Huh? And how?
Well, Lincoln Barracks is going to blow up, he says.
Oh, that's fine.
I think the Germans started the whole thing. That's what I think.
Get out and tell that driver behind the back if he can.
Yes, sir.
And if he's not going anywhere in particular, tell him to follow me.
Yes, sir.
And get the guy behind him, too.
Yes, sir. Hey, back up! Back up and follow us!
Jump in. Now, here we go.
Whoop.
Now, we'll try the back lane. Are they following?
Yep. Boy, this is like France, ain't it, sir? Only queer.
Hold on, here's a ditch.
Whip. Do you know what I heard? The master of one of them ships out there in the harbor was blown a clear mile and woke up naked on the top of Fort Needham.
Is that so?
They say the angle of the hill was just the same as the course he was taking through the air. And he just sort of skidded to a stop along the ground. Mm. Nothing left on him but his boots and cuffs. I'd sure like to meet that fella and find out what it felt like.
Get that soldier in the truck there.
Hey, you! Me? Yeah, you! Follow us! Army order!
Smoke's getting thick. Wind your window up.
Yes, sir. Hey, I heard another funny thing. Fella told me he lay flat on the ground when that ship went off. And
get that man with the wagon there.
Yes, sir. Hey! Hey, you! Follow us! Officer's orders!
By the time Neil McCrae reached the fire belt, he was heading a caravan of 5 trucks and 2 wagons. Smoke swirled about them, but the flames were lower than they had been an hour ago. The foundations of houses were like isolated garbage heaps, with smoke and foul smells winding up from the charred embers. A few people were poking about helplessly in the wrecks of houses. Some dead were lying on the street. And the body of a woman oscillated slowly from the only lamppost standing on the block. She had been thrown against its top, and the crossbeam skewered her bunched clothes and held them.
All right, we'll start here, then. We'll have to use this fish market as a clearing station. It's the only place standing. You organize the men into search parties, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
And bring all the wounded and dead in here. The counters will have to do for beds.
Do you want to throw out the fish, sir?
No.
Well, it's full of glass.
The town's going to run out of food soon enough. They'll need this. Now, start moving. I'll get it cleaned up.
Yes, sir. Hey, we better hurry. It's starting to snow.
Oh, no. That's the last straw.
Midnight.
It was cold when Penny woke. She sat up and peered around her room. It seemed unfamiliar and ominous. There were 3 cots set up close to her bed and 3 strange bodies under the blankets. And it was cold. The wind howled outside and there were angry spurts of snow against the beaver board nailed on the broken windows. For the first time, she was wide awake. And the events of the day crashed through her mind.
How many have been hurt? Jean. Jean. The Fraser house is in direct line from the Narrows. It would be flattened. No. No, the trees would protect it. And Richmond Bluff. That would deflect the force. She must be all right. She must be. Must make sure. Where are my slippers? Oh, there. I'm dressed. They didn't undress me. I'm still wearing everything I put on this morning. Was it only... Easy.
Where are you going?
What?
Oh, it's you, Miss Wayne. You should be in bed.
I feel much better. Is anyone awake? Is Mr. McCrae awake?
I haven't seen him. He's not in the house.
Oh.
Some of the doctors are still working in the dining room.
Some of the doctors? How many are there?
Three, and Dr. Murray. Your aunt sent soldiers to capture them off that special train they brought in from Truro. I guess they thought they were going to the biggest hospital in town, but they had plenty to do.
Where's Major Murray?
In the library.
Thank you.
He's worn out, poor man. Worked for 6 hours before they came.
Thank you. I'll go in.
Yes, who is it?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh. Penny, what are you doing out of bed?
I'm sorry I wakened you, Angus. But I
didn't know I was asleep. I was hunting for a cigarette, and I suppose...
Angus.
Do you know if your father keeps some cached away somewhere? My mouth's like the bottom of a rusty can, but I can't stop smoking.
Yes, Angus, of course. There's some over here.
Oh, good. Yeah. How was your eye? How does it feel?
I hadn't noticed it.
What got you up, then?
Did you ever wake up in your own room and find queer sounds and strange women in it? Here you are.
Oh, plenty of times. Thanks. Once I even thought there was a green tiger, but I wasn't sure.
Angus?
Hmm?
Angus, I'm frightened.
Oh, don't be frightened about Neil, Penny. I think he's all right. I haven't seen him since noon, but he kept sending me a stream of patients. Neil seems able to take care of himself better than most of us. Your father hasn't been heard from yet. But I wouldn't worry about that either. All the army's working somewhere.
Jean, have you heard anything about Jean?
Oh.
But she's all right, isn't she?
Yes, Penny. Jean's all right.
Oh.
Jim and Mary must have left her at the lodge with the maid.
What do you mean?
They were alone when they were found. They were in the North Street station when the ship blew up. I doubt if anyone in the station survived. They're dead, Penny. I didn't want to tell you tonight. Don't sit there tense. Say something. Cry. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not a doctor. I'm a bunch of shattered nerves. Penny, I... She's fainted.
Friday. All that night the storm grew and the wind drove steadily harder out of the northeast, and the snow fell in the darkest night Halifax could remember. There were the lanterns and hurricane lamps that bobbed dimly behind the curtain of falling snow as they swung from the shafts of sleighs coming and going from the north end. And here and there was a glimmer on the snow around a lingering fire, and there were a few red lanterns the police had hung out at the street corners. But the rest was total blackness, and nothing to hear but the wind and the hiss of the rescue sleighs and the constant whisper of the falling snow. All that night, and all the next day, and the next night, the living dug in the frozen embers for the dead. Friday, midnight.
Neil McCrae and his sergeant stood in snow up to their calves and checked the file of men returning with stretchers to the dressing station. The soldiers stumbled in from the darkness, all of them as sooty as colliers from the charred foundations in which they'd been working for 36 hours. And they set down their stretcher loads and stood with arms limp and shoulders bowed over with exhaustion. Neil flashed his torch into the eyes of the four still butties.
All this lot seem to be dead.
Yes, sir.
After the doctors made sure, you better take them out to the sleigh.
There's only one sleigh, sir.
Well, that's all we need, isn't it?
Told you a while back, the horses are just too tired to pull.
Oh. Are all the men back?
No. One pair to come.
Oh. Well, we'll wait then. The men better move the horse, though. He'll freeze to death if we leave him out like that.
But no one answered him. He looked back at the long black shadows of the soldiers cast by the hurricane lamps, but none of them moved. Perhaps they hadn't heard him. Perhaps they were too tired to care anymore what he said. Neil walked out of the shelter and flashed his torch down the snow-filled depression that had once been a street. Nothing moved across the beam but the unending spangles of white. Neil flashed the torch once more down the street. And out of the whiteness plunged two white men with the loaded stretcher between them.
Good. I'm worried. I'll set it down here. I suppose he's dead anyway.
Bending wearily, Neil lifted the blanket from the still form on the stretcher and flashed his torch into the frozen, familiar eyes of Jeffrey Wayne.
Saturday afternoon, 5 o'clock.
That you, Neil?
No, Penny.
Oh, Angus, I was hoping you'd be back soon. I have some tea for you. You look tired.
I am.
I thought you went for a walk to relax. Sit down.
No. I've been watching another man die. Oh, you look as though you'd had a good sleep. When did you get up?
I've been getting up at all hours. First it was dawn. Then I got up when Neil came in. I guess I'm up for good now. Here you are.
All right. I suppose they've told you.
About Father? Yes.
He was killed immediately, I should judge, at the time of the explosion. Try not to have any regrets, Penny.
Regrets? Is that what I should have? Angus, what's the matter with me? Am I still in a stupor? I don't seem to feel anything.
About your father?
About anyone. Is it my eye, Angus? Am I drugged? Nothing seems to matter. I don't want to do anything.
Not even to talk to Neil?
No.
Oh, that's understandable. In this house?
Yes. They hang on every word between us. Aunt Mariah does, at least, and Roddy. Oh, but it isn't that. I don't know. Ever since Jean was born, I've longed to see Neil's face when he first saw his daughter. Now I hardly want to tell him. Angus, he has never asked. He's never so much as wondered.
Why do you resent his not asking?
Oh, I know it's silly. Why should I? I don't suppose there's any reason to expect a man to wonder about a thing like that.
If you think he's forgotten, you know less about men than you imagine. Where is he now?
Asleep. Another explosion wouldn't waken him.
He needs all the sleep he can get. After another few hours, he'll wake up hungry, eat like a horse. Then he'll want you.
Oh.
You've got survival value.
Yes. But have I?
You've been drawing a lot of checks on yours for 3 years. Penny, I have something here. I just got it at the military hospital. It concerns you as much as it does Neil. Here.
What is it? Establish contact with Imperial Brigade on the right. Then attack second objective immediately. I don't understand, Angus. What is it?
Read on.
This is the message given by Colonel Wayne in writing to Corporal Alec McKenzie and relayed to Lieutenant Neil McCrae on the afternoon.
How on earth Neil could let Alec die without getting it down on paper? This is what he came home for, what he risked court-martial for.
Signed, Alec McKenzie. Witnessed by nursing sister Claire Swicker and Major Angus Murray.
I suppose he was just too tired to remember that Alec might die.
You weren't too tired.
It was Alec who wasn't too tired. He was so weak he could hardly move, but he insisted on signing before he died.
Was Neil right about the message?
Yes. Half of it does contradict the other half. There wasn't any Imperial Brigade on the right. They were behind us. He had to withdraw to establish contact. But your father didn't know that, of course. He just knew he was in the mess and his battalion with him. Well, Neil is free now, Penny.
Angus, I do want something now. I want to see Jean.
That's as it should be.
I want to take Neil out to her and stay there at Prince's Lodge among the greenwoods. And I never want to come back to this house again.
Penny, do that tonight. There's a train taking wounded out, I know. You go too, with Neil. Oh, Penny, I wish it were a month from now. I wish it were midsummer, no more snow, and the green trees were standing again under the sun, and the locusts shrilling at high noon. I wish your eye were better, Penny, and you were happy. Oh, I'm tired. I'd better get some sleep. Tomorrow I'll be moving out, too.
Where will you be going, Angus?
I don't know.
Out of Halifax?
Halifax? Out of Nova Scotia? No. I felt like that once, but not now. I found out I can work again. Even if I do conk out after 6 hours. Overrating myself, as usual. From now on, that'll have to be enough. Work. And it will be. Now, if you'll excuse me, Penny, I'll get some sleep.
Yes. And sleep well, Angus. Thank you.
8 o'clock. The train swung through a long arc as it swerved around the foot of Richmond Bluff. They were going out of Halifax now. They were leaving the hideous wreckage of the town. It was going to be a bad winter, Neil thought, with hospitals jammed and schools working double shifts and the thousands of people living in makeshift. Down the coach from where he stood inside the corner by the drinking water tank, the black leather seats of the colonist car were down, and the wounded lay on either side of the aisle, swaying as the train swayed. Neil looked down at Penny standing beside him, and his fingers touched her wrist.
You're all right?
Yes.
You look tired. Perhaps you shouldn't have come, Penny.
No, I'm all right, please, Neil.
All right. Seems funny going out to the suburbs at a time like this. As I remember it, Prince's Lodge was just a few houses on the edge of the woods. How old did you say she was, the youngster?
Almost 2.
Yes?
Yes. She can talk a little.
Oh, is that remarkable at all?
Oh, yes. Neil?
Yes, Penny?
Neil, did you ever think...
Think what?
I can't tell you. I'm so tired. I can't think anymore. What will happen?
Yes, I know. Being tired is the worst part of things like this. Oh, we'll be there soon.
Yes.
Oh, we're slowing now.
Neil, do you know what it means, this trip?
Yes.
Pretty dark. Watch your step. Hey, you all right, lady?
Yes.
I've got her.
Good night.
Good night.
Do you know what it means, Neil? This trip?
Yes, I know. Wise Penelope. That's what Odysseus said to his wife when he got home. I don't think he ever told her he loved her, though. He probably knew the words would sound too small.
Neil.
That was part 5 of Barometer Rising, a novel by Hugh McLennan, adapted for broadcasting by Rita Greer, and produced by Rupert Kaplan of the CBC. This is part of the drama series presented by the CBC International Service.